It is Tuesday. Welcome to the catch up. Plenty to catch you up on. One thing happened on the show today. Very fiery.
Yeah, Robin and ourselves talking to Pauline Hanson. Robin, have you spoken to her before?
I have spoken to her a couple of times before, but it got into, you know, as a woman, you shouldn't think this, and as a woman, you shouldn't think that. She didn't like that at all.
You better listen to this because we won't be speaking to her again.
No, just some old mates catching up.
Sorry.
Yeah, so you hear that. Also, the that terrible... A tragic accidental shooting in the music video. We spoke to a lot of ex-army and people who know about firearms, about blanks and about how they can actually end up hurting you. That was fascinating.
Give you the hot tip as well tomorrow. We're going to have a stack of Brisbane Heat tickets, of course, in their semi-final against the Sydney Sixers. Be listening from 5:30 for your shot at those tickets. Until then, enjoy the catch-up.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away. But what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Pauline Hanson, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hello.
Hi, Pauline. Hey, you're pouring a lot of time and action into Queensland. I'm hearing maybe March. Are you getting the same sort of feel? And I'm also being told that you'll get 20% of the vote. What are your mates telling you?
I have heard she could call an early election, so we're gearing up for it and getting as prepared as we possibly can. It could be October, November, so no one knows. Hopefully, after this next election, then it's September, which will be fantastic. As far as the polling, we're doing extremely well. We're polling around the Townsville area just over 27%. So it's been very good there.
Do you want it early or you don't mind?
Look, we're ready to go at any time. If the election's called, we're ready to go with it. So that's no problem. You know, I'm used to snap elections and election mode for the last 18 years, but it's just getting the candidates all ready to go. So anyway, if it happens, it happens.
Here's an issue. So speaking about Townsville as where you're polling well, now we've been trying to get a ranking politician on to talk about daylight savings in Queensland. We've had the asked for the Premier many times, no luck there. We've managed to get the Deputy Mayor of Brisbane, that's about it. What's your position? What's One Nation's position on daylight savings in Queensland?
I haven't made a policy on it. I think there's more important issues to talk about than daylight savings.
Yeah, yes. I know, but while we're here, and I'm asking you, then I know that you, as a Queenslander, you would have an opinion on that. So what is your opinion on daylight savings in Queensland?
Well, my personal opinion, not to do with the party line or whatsoever, I quite like it the way it is. I don't want daylight saving. I know it's the only thing that I think is annoying with a lot of people, especially those in business, it's disrupting with the other states, New South Wales and Melbourne, when you're dealing with that and when you're flying places, you know, trying to adjust to the hours different.
That's true.
I find that.
It's bad for tourism, though, Pauline. We get a lot of our money from tourism.
Why do you think it's tourism?
Well, Pauline, you get up at 4:30 in the morning, the sun's up. Right. Are they tourists spending money then, or are they spending it at 8:30 in the night?
They've only got so much money to actually go around.
Oh, is that your answer? Okay. So you don't reckon that anyone in Brisbane will vote for you. That's why you're not caring about it. You're like the rest of the politicians are only caring about the people in the country. Is that correct?
Well, that's not a really good analogy of because the way I think of it, I'm going back to, okay, when I was a young mother and I had the children and I was putting them to bed at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night and it was still absolutely daylight outside. And I'm going back some years ago when we trialled daylight saving, I found it was disruptive to try and put the children down to sleep, which then made it 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Then they wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
They wake up. You obviously can't remember when they were little tackers.
Yeah, really?
We're going back 30 years ago, my young one, 40 years ago.
It's still light at 4 a.m., but let me talk to you about your burqa issue. Why, oh, why, oh, why? Were you having a crack at the burqa?
Do you like it? Do you wear one?
You know what, though? I will say quite honestly that that is a representation for a group of people about their religion, and you having a go at the burqa is like having a go at a Christian wearing a cross.
I cannot believe... Oh, that is no...
Yes, it is.
Comparison. It is not. The burqa is not a religious requirement.
It's not a requirement, but it's a reflection.
Are actually now wanting to get rid of the burqa. We're talking about full face covering.
Yeah, but why? Why? Because what difference does it make if a woman wants to show her religious ways through wearing a burqa? What difference does that make to anyone else?
I cannot believe, coming from a woman, that you believe that a woman should be covered up from head to toe.
That's her choice,
and it's actually,
Pauline.
It is not her choice. It's control. And if you go to a lot of these Muslim countries, you actually have to cover up.
Okay.
It's forced upon the women to actually do it. Right. And that has been brought here to Australia. It is not a religious requirement.
But, okay,
and you speak to a lot of Australians. Hang on a minute. If you speak to a lot of Australians that actually go into the banking system or anywhere else, they actually have to take off their hat, even if it's a cap. They cannot wear any helmet. Now, this is not equality in this country. They have to show their face. So should a person wearing a burqa.
And I can't believe that a woman wants to have a crack at another woman about what she wears, particularly someone like you, Pauline.
Don't call that woman stuff.
You just did on me.
Just because I'm a woman and I'm complaining and I do not like it, as the former two prime ministers of this country, Julia Gillard plus also Tony Abbott, said they find it confronting. Let the people then, put it to a vote in this country. Let the people vote how they feel about it. But don't try and shut me down because I'm having a go at a woman.
Well, I'll have Pauline, you started it.
Wait.
You had a crack at me.
Can I ask both you ladies, why doesn't one woman stand up, why don't one of you stand up and say to the Muslims, the Islam male community, stop it, stop trying to control your women? Why doesn't somebody have a crack at them because no one's got the guts?
But hang on,
I have already said that. Women are being controlled by the men that they must cover up.
Okay.
Otherwise, if they say that they show their skin, they are virtually putting themselves out there. It's their fault if they get raped.
You are
now,
lumping
the whole.
You are lumping a whole religion, and you are having a crack about a whole religion based on what they say. And
isn't it funny that the hijab is worn and it's not promoted in Indonesia, which is a predominant Muslim country? So that the full burqa and the covering is, what are we doing? Taking women back to,
No one is forcing.
Ago?
In this country, you are not forced to wear a
burqa.
But
the males are.
You don't understand.
Okay, that's okay. Two very different.
Religion.
Okay, yeah, two very different opinions there.
We could keep going.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll speak to you before the election. It is going to be a very interesting one to see how One Nation goes. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
I'd like to talk about sleep, please, Robin.
Okay.
And
don't
Mara.
Get a lot of it.
You remember that, sleep.
Yeah. Way back when.
So I want to talk about the things that can happen while you're asleep. Sleepwalking, the effects of sleeping tablets.
Why?
This came up the other day. I was chatting to a mate of mine, and he'd been gotten married fairly recently, beautiful wedding, etc. They'd been on a honeymoon, hadn't seen them. We'd been away, got together, see how everyone's summer was. We're talking about the wedding, talking, and then all of a sudden we were talking about the night before their wedding, and his wife went very quiet.
And he goes, shh, and he's sort of waving like, don't ask.
Don't mention the war.
Yeah, so of course Rob and I was like, finally, here we go.
Something saucy.
What happened, bro? What happened? And he goes, oh, well, you know, my best man, you know, Jono. I said, oh, yeah, he's somewhat loose, mutter, this guy. I said, yes. He goes, well, he had this great idea that the night before the wedding, he, as a present, got me and him a hotel room to stay in before the, you know, before
Oh, big one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I said, oh, that's nice. I did the same thing, just an early night. And he goes, well, it was meant to be an early night.
Okay.
This is what happened, Robin. So they've got two rooms that are next door to each other with one of those internal doors.
Right.
And Jono has decided that he can't get to sleep. He's too excited about the wedding. They'd had a couple of drinks. So he's taken a popular brand of sleeping tablet. Mm-hmm. I won't say the name of the brand.
Okay, fair enough, but we probably all know and can guess.
Let's just say that if Grant Hackett was here, he'd be snatching them out of my paw as he walked through the lobby in a nappy.
Right.
There's a visual I can't let go
of. It happened. What happened, though, was that poor old Jono forgot. He's got up in the middle of the night, sleepwalking on this sleeping tablet.
That's what happens.
Marto, he's charged back into this bloke's room, opened the fridge, grabbed a beer and said, let's have a beer. And my mate goes, mate, I've got to get married in 3 hours. Go back to sleep, Jono. And he's looked at him, realised he's asleep, that he's sleepwalking, right?
Is that what happens?
Yeah,
people do weird stuff in their sleep.
Have a beer, though.
He's had three sips of the beer, right? And he's going, mate, go to bed, Jono. And he's going, ah, he's having a beer. Put that beer down.
That's $18.
And then gone, mate, let's have a beer. Gone back into the
another one.
Cracked another beer. Had two sips of that. And my mate's going, mate, go. He doesn't know what to do because he is asleep.
Yeah,
he
you can't
to sleep.
Wake them. You're not supposed to wake people. No, you're supposed to take them back into their room and just settle them down without waking them. You can freak people out.
What do you mean take them
back?
Just put your arm around them.
Yeah,
just lead them back. Yeah. Can you walk them back?
I've had lots of experience with this because my kids sleepwalk anyway.
No, just finish up.
No, finish up.
I had three beers and then got walked.
Those mini bars are expensive too. I mean, that's three ways to beer.
$100 right there.
What happened with you?
Okay, well, no, all three of my children sleepwalk and one was very young, we actually had to double bolt the front door with a padlock that couldn't be opened because
he's a wanderer.
Yeah, they wander, and our pool was on the other side. No. And once we found him trying to open the pool gate.
Whoa!
Yeah, seriously, when he was about 5 or 6.
Did you ever wake him up? Like, how did you realise
you had to
walk?
No, you're not supposed to.
But did you ever?
No.
Did they grow out?
No. Actually, all three of them still and do it very differently. You can have entire conversations. My middle guy yells at me.
Oh, really?
Is that normal?
Just having a go.
My greyhound competes in races. When she's asleep, her legs go like she's running in an actual race. That is, I swear to God, that's true.
I've heard of that before.
Where the possum goes across the roof.
Yeah, she's after
I'm off.
So what's happened in your sleep?
This is weird.
It goes on.
It does. You or a relative, your kids, someone, one of your mates, what's happened in yours or their sleep?
Oh, man, the amount of times that actually, I shouldn't say which one, the amount of times one of them has weed in a cupboard, I swear to God.
I've got mates like that. I've roomed with blokes like that.
Weed
in your suitcase.
But they haven't been sleepwalking.
No, they weren't sleepwalking. They've just been drinking too much.
Yeah, right.
Jack from Scarborough. Now, Jack, what did you do in your sleep, mate?
He's going all right.
Yeah,
when I was about 4 or 5, I've got dressed into my dressing gown, my slippers, and just walked out the back. Doors always open, and around the back gate, head down the Moss Street onto the main road, which is pretty busy. Walked over the train lines, kept on going down towards the group of shops, and there's a bakery there. And my dad's mate owned that bakery, so he's up early in the morning. It was about 4 in the morning, and he's seen me. He says, "What's he doing out here?" So he grabbed me and took me home and woke me dad up and mum and said, he's a little fella, mate. And he goes, what the hell? It's about a K and a K and a half down the road.
Five years old and you're walking to a
Did you wake up at all? Jeez, like, did you? Yeah. Were you aware that you'd done it?
I can't remember. Dad just, okay, so I'm talking about it, like, after a few beers with his mate. He goes, remember this day?
Do they ever tie you up? Like, how do you stop a kid sleepwalking? Do you tuck them in tighter?
Lock the door.
You've got to lock the doors.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it that often. That one time was pretty...
That was enough.
Little. Yeah, you smelled a hot cross bun. Yeah. I can understand that, Jack. Jeez, that's amazing. A K and a half. Hey, Jordan from Caboolture. Now, what did you used to do in your sleep, Jordan?
Well, I was about 12 when this happened. I got up in the middle of the night and started making cakes.
Oh, my God, you're useful.
Not really. The cakes were not the most delicious. I made a lemon and chocolate one.
Ooh.
Together?
Yes, together.
Jordan, and do you were you a bake like were you when you were awake and you were 12? Were you interested in
MasterChef?
Yeah, in baking.
Yeah, I used to cook all the time, but I had no idea what I was doing until Mum showed me a video of it the next morning.
And did it look weird? Were you sort of like wobbling, or were you purposeful? What did you look like?
It looked just like I was making a cake, even if I was awake.
That is really weird.
Did Mum let you keep going until you cleaned up as well?
Yep. Yep.
I bet she did. Good
now
on Mum.
Grab this vacuum.
But, you know, I'm just looking here. I've just Googled 15% of people sleepwalk, but that's there is an onset of persistent sleepwalking in adulthood, so you may still develop
there
it.
There must be a psychology involved. Michael from North Lakes, was it you, mate?
Mate, yes. I was still sleepwalking about 20, and one night I was coming back from a wedding from Brizzy. I was up at the sunny coast at the time, and I got tired, so I pulled over at the servo for a sleep about 1 a.m. Okay. And next thing I remember, I was driving on the highway in the middle of the two lanes at about 140 k's an hour.
No way.
Michael.
Yeah, very scary.
And had you ever done anything like that before? Had you ever sleepwalked or anything before?
Oh, yeah. As a teenager, I'd wake up in the morning and go, I didn't wear these clothes to bed. And Mum would be like, you don't remember having a shower? I'm like, no idea.
So, Michael, when you were driving, what woke you? Yeah. You just woke?
I just woke, and I'm like, how did I get here? And I was, in the middle of obviously it's a two-lane highway, in the middle of those two lanes doing 140 and, freaked myself out.
But if you can make cakes, you can drive.
You can drive.
Not necessarily 140 k an hour.
No, that is scary. No. We might have to do this again. There's I can't believe how many people, Robin, have had sleepwalking.
Yeah, it's very common.
Sleep situations.
What a wicked thing.
Because people used to use this as an excuse.
Yeah, right.
Where have you been?
I'm asleep. Doesn't stand up in divorce court, mate. No.
Marto and Robin on Triple M.
Well, what a treat. He's back this year, speaking to us every week, live from the PM's office. It's Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Ed Cavalier. Hello, Marto and Robin Bailey. What a pleasure it is to welcome you to the Triple M network, and finally a professional amongst these two absolute loose units. Hopeless case.
Oh, well, thank you, Rich Uncle Mal. Let's get this underway. A bad start to the year.
Well, not a bad start for you. You went with your three boys to Bali with the boogie boards packed with gear. And no, I'm kidding, of course. It was a tough start for me. I've had to sack Susan Ley, my health minister, over the travel expenses rorting. And I went in there and I said, listen, Susan, let me put it easy to you. I'll sing it to you like Bob Dylan. Lay, lady, lay, you're fired. And so it has been difficult for me, though. I've been enjoying the summer with Lucy.
Yeah, hey, listen, are the travel expenses out of control for all your ministers?
Well, listen, Marto, who hasn't taken a cab charge to get home from the Christmas party, paid cash, and then later used that to circumnavigate the globe? We've all kept the cab running outside a nightclub in the valley, haven't we?
On
the radio stations. Expense, come on now. What the trouble is, people aren't hiding it properly, and that's what really annoys me. And I've taken them to task in the cabinet room.
Rich Uncle Mal, are you excited about a new premier in New South Wales?
Well, of course I am, because I get to pronounce her name all the time. Gladys Berejiklian.
That's about as close.
Now, I'm happy that Gladys is there. Of course, first woman Liberal Premier of New South Wales. And Gladys Berejiklian is right up there with Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Yeah, don't try that one.
It feels more enjoyable in the mouth than Usman Khawaja.
Oh, damn.
Don't you think so? I enjoy pronouncing all of those letters. Ed Cavalier for me is just a little bit too easy.
No, I appreciate that.
But away from politics and on to Australia Day, what's happening?
Well, I'll probably just put on the Australian flag like a cape and head down to the beach to bash a... No, I'm kidding. what I'll do is avoid Australians. I'll have to, of course, do the mandatory sausage sizzle at a Bunnings. My God, one bread and a sausage. And pretend to enjoy it like I'm one of the people. And then I'll just get the hell out of there.
All right, mate, we better let you go. Thanks so much for joining us again this year. Rich Uncle Mal, the PM live from the PM's
Before
office.
Before I go, Ed, I'd just like to say that for the first time this year, Dribble M rocks Kedron.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Good on you guys.
Hey, listen, front page of the papers all over the joint. Yesterday afternoon had me fascinated. As soon as they said Bliss and Esso, my two kids love Bliss and Esso. They've taken me to a concert. They're really talented. Three hip-hop guys. I know it sounds weird, but...
they're fantastic.
They are unreal. They were shooting a music video yesterday down opposite the Riverside Centre, down in Eagle Lane. There was something went badly wrong. There was a guy died. He was a stuntman. He was about to be in this Australia's Ninja, which a mate of mine missed out on. And so, therefore, this guy was very talented. He was wonderful. I've seen some footage on him on the telly this week.
It's amazing. 28 years old, Robin, fit as a fiddle and having a great time. He'd been putting out Snapchats of the other prop weapons that were on set.
Yes. They were trying to be... It was like a drug criminal, you know,
they'd ask for people to come through and if they wanted to volunteer to be in this clip, and this guy said yes.
He dies. How does he die of a shotgun wound? And because at first we went, what? They've just left live ammo in there.
Yeah,
but
that's
it appears, it was blank ammo. And we're going, well, how the hell does that happen? A sawn off shotgun, and this guy's died with blank ammo. We got no idea how it happened.
Sean from Burpengary. Sean, thanks for giving us a call, mate. Now, you're ex army. So, how on earth does something like this happen?
Hey, how are you going, guys? So, what the go is, it is basically just a live round without anything in the end of it.
What does that mean?
So it's the projectile, the bullet or the projectile, but there's nothing inside.
Yeah, so the projectile's taken out and the end of it's just crimped over. So all those gases coming out at whatever speed they normally come out at are still coming out.
So you're saying that if you were to shoot someone with a blank at close range, the power of it, because it's still coming out really quickly...
It's compressed air is hitting you at such a force.
That can hurt you seriously.
That's correct. So in defence, we had an attachment on the end of the rifles that actually could catch a bullet if it was mixed in there, but it also stopped the gases coming out. So if you were too close to someone, then they wouldn't get hurt.
And in the time that you were in the army, Sean, did you ever see any incidents with blanks? Did anyone ever get injured, you know, not fatally, but was anyone ever injured around the blank?
No, there's that much safety in there that, you know, there's 6 to 7 people checking over rounds before they're even loaded into any guns or anything.
So. Because it would have happened at some stage, and that's why they put all these safety protocols into... You know, when you did exercises, they weren't live rounds you were using. You were using blanks. That was when you had to make sure you were safe for that.
Yeah, that's correct.
But, Sean, you're also saying it can kill... It has the potential to kill someone.
Without the...
Yes.
It'll
just tear your skin apart.
Oh, right. Okay, thank you, Sean. Appreciate the call. John's from Thornlands, also ex-army, talking about blanks and how they may or how they're able to kill somebody. John, what do you want to tell us about this, mate?
Yeah, exactly the same, basically. It's just the compressed air and the gases that still come out of the end of the barrel.
How far away? Is it like a metre and a half, 2 metres?
It all depends on the caliber of the weapon involved.
Okay, so I believe this to be a double barrel shotgun, John, and the place.
If it's a double barrel 12-gauge shotgun, I mean there's a lot of power coming out of those.
Right.
So you know there's a lot of compressed air. I'm sure Mardo's heard the stories off building sites of people hurting themselves with compressed air.
Yep, they always do the safety videos. Because there's pranks where people used to stick air guns up the young apprentices' bottoms and blow their inside. Oh, no. It's wicked.
So that's why
air is a wicked thing.
So that's why when you're using like a paintball gun, it won't hurt you as badly because there's not enough power in the compressed air.
Yeah, maybe the paintball softened the blow.
Because I hate them. They hurt.
We've got a few experts.
So Perry's from... I believe we're going... Brendo?
Yeah, John from Canungra. Morning, John.
Morning, John from Canungra. So your dad, I believe, was shot with a blank. Is that right?
Yeah, I remember. I found a blank in my yard because in Canungra it used to be training. So it still is an army training area. And I found a blank in the yard and rang the old man and asked what it was. And he said, it sounds like a blank. And... reminded me of a story, and also him, that he told me when I was younger when he got actually shot at point blank by a blank.
Oh, goodness.
And, yeah, it made a bit of a mess with his chest, but he was all right.
Yeah, right. But he described how much damage can be done. Whoa. Just with the air from the blank.
Yeah, so he told me to get rid of it before the kids played with it, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. All right, thanks, everyone. There we go. We've learnt more about this situation. Apparently this place that they were filming is very, very small as well. I've never been there. So if everything's, you know, if everyone's packed in there, then that, unfortunately, it means that everything's at closer range. Absolutely. It is tragic. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, now, I was talking about the fashions at the Alan Border Medal, and you showed complete disinterest.
No, I was interested.
Marto, you tried it. Thank you very much.
Do it after 8:30. From now... A ban before 8 o'clock.
I'm not doing that. Fashion. No, not doing that. Because if it's important,
give us a ring, anyone.
Okay, stop. Listen to me and help me out
you
with
can't
this.
Because
I want. Yes, I can, and I will. No. But I want you to help me with this. Okay. I go and get my brows done, and you know, get my nails done. I'm a normal Lovely. Chick who you know spends a bit of time on maintenance. And I was up at Paddington at the brow bar, and I was lying in the chair, and there were a number of people that were lined up. And one of them that arrived fairly early, because had a couple of women in front of him, was a bloke. Now, I thought that was really awesome.
Does the brow bar only do eyebrows? They do other stuff?
Well, they can, you know, you can have your eyebrows tinted. You can have your eyelashes curled. You can have your eyelashes tinted.
Wow. You can have your eyelashes curled.
You can. So he's having...
Wow. How do they do that?
He's having one of those treatments.
Yeah. All of them.
I didn't... all of them. I didn't hang around long enough to actually see. But he was super proud to be there. He was chatting to the girls. He's clearly a regular client.
How old?
Ooh, late 40s.
Late 40s, that's when your eyebrows start to really get going.
They may do nasal hair. I don't know if they clip that. And or ear hair, maybe. That's
what
a
bloke kind
of
thing. Just a lighter or what do they use?
What?
A lighter?
Haven't you done that?
No.
That's how I do it to my mates.
Okay, so you don't want to talk fashion, but let's talk male grooming.
Yeah,
you okay with that?
Yeah, for sure.
You what?
Well, I understand young guys. They pump a lot of money into their bodies.
When you looked at his eyebrows, did you think, oh, yeah, they looked like...
Oh, no, he had caterpillars crawling across his face. Yeah, like,
so it was Val Meninga-like, his eyebrow.
Yeah, I mean, and clearly, as I said, he'd had it done before because you could see the regrowth that was coming through. So he was very much a guy who was taking care of his face. But that's, you know, that's a step away from a facial.
What was he
I know
wearing?
A lot of,
what was he wearing?
He was in a suit.
He was in a suit. So, his wife said, listen, you're going to spend $1,000 on your suit, $200 on a tie and shirt. You may as well look good in the melon area. You may as well get your face sorted.
But I know tradies who are really thingy about right.
Well, don't worry. These young tradies, they love looking after themselves and the skin and they know they're out in the sun. They're actually looking after themselves. They're going to the gym. They're eating the right stuff
these
days. So
you're okay with this?
Oh God, but we never used to be. We used to smoke, eat pies, drink chalky breakers. Now these young blokes are looking after themselves.
I thought you would sincerely be like, what?
No, happy for them.
He doesn't do fashion, but male grooming, you betcha. Yeah. If you,
I don't do any, myself,
okay,
but I'm supportive.
I want to know, blokes, be honest. This is your time to be proud.
That's right.
What do you do? How far do you go? Do you get your hair coloured?
I bet you a few of them get a mask on with their girlfriend at home to get all their pores cleaned.
Do you wax?
Oh. Some of them do for sure. God. Yeah. Can I ask a question just to inform everyone? Did they do a thing called threading? I've heard of this where they use
threading
a piece of cotton and that's how they pull it out. What's wrong with this bloke going to the barber? As the barber, he goes, you want your eyebrows done? He'll throw the comb in there and just go to the clippers.
Well, you could do that.
Why would he go to the brow bar?
Okay, because what happens with your eyebrows, and Oprah Winfrey said this.
Hang on a second. Yep.
Having your eyebrows contoured properly can completely change your face.
Actually, Rob and I saw that episode. What she actually said was, because she had a face full of burger while she said it.
Well, wow, having your eyebrows contoured, that's amazing.
So doing it with clippers is not going to work.
Contour.
So I just want to know about blokes who are out there and proud of doing stuff to their bodies to make them look prettier.
Straight away, Luke from Everton Hills. G'day, Luke. Nice to have you with us, mate. What do you do to look after yourself, buddy?
G'day, Ed, Robin and Marto. Yeah, I go up to Bali once a year, go to the day spa, love a bit of pampering, and I get a thing called the Bali Coffee Bliss. That's where... they scrub me down in coffee and wrap banana leaves in me. And
oh, my God.
At 315 kilos, they have run out of banana leaves to wrap me in.
Hey, Luke, while you're up there, do you ever go to that Dr. Fish where those fish pick away at your feet?
I've done that, Ed. you've been there, done that by the sound of it. So it
beautiful. Everyone's done that. Luke, I hope when we when I heard you say the Bali Coffee Bliss, I was concerned that it might have been the old hose treatment.
The enema.
If you catch my drift.
No. Catch a drift, definitely not.
Not for you, mate. Not for anyone.
Okay.
Luke, the truckie joins us. Dave, how old are you and what do you do to look after yourself sculpting-wise, buddy?
Well, I'm 57 this year. Hello, Robin. Good to talk to you again, mate.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
And I do the eyebrows, ears and nose occasionally.
Okay, with
how
scissors?
How do you do them, yeah?
Oh, just when you're sitting watching Speed Week with the tweezers and the little mirror.
Speed Week. That's great.
Oh, come on, grow up, boys. It's 2017. Come on, fella.
Yeah, exactly right. I don't want to watch you doing that. That would be hilarious.
That's great. That's great.
It is a great feeling. Thank you, Dave, the truckie.
And is this Aaron from Logan Central? Hello, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, good. Now, what do you do to beautify yourself, my friend?
Well, it's not me personally. It's me mate, actually. Mm. He gets through and gets his chest all waxed up.
Ooh, why?
Well, he thinks it makes his body look a bit better than it should be.
And does it?
No, not at all, mate.
Okay.
I bet you and he discussed...
Shocking.
How much does it cost him?
It usually runs him about $65, actually.
How often does he have to get that done?
He has to do it about twice every 2 months. So.
Yeah, you would. It grows. The hair grows back, and it grows back really bristly. And now here's the thing, though.
He's a fairly hairy bloke as well. So
does he do his back?
Mm. He doesn't have a problem with his back. Actually, it's just the chest.
Oh, okay.
Sort of like a fur suit of armour.
Yes. Thank you, Oren.
Go the fur.
It's beautiful. Marto, what is your wife's favourite show that is in the afternoon into the early evening?
At 5:23, I think it normally comes on, Hot Seat, and as she sits there, she tries to drag anyone who walks near her into a competition.
Well, you know what? That's incorrect because it's got a sexy new time, and to tell us more about it, can we please welcome the irrepressible host of Millionaire Hot Seat and Triple M Zone, Hello Eddie McGuire.
Hello Ed, g'day Marto, Hessigs mate, good to be with you guys.
Welcome back.
Great to be with you. Yes, 5 o'clock.
Sexy new time of 5 o'clock.
Well, what's happened is the first millionaire, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the phenomenon that became Millionaire, Slumdog Millionaire and won Academy Awards and was the biggest show probably in the history of television.
Absolutely.
Here it was massive. Yeah, that went for 8 years. Then we came back with the show, what they call a strip show, Monday to Friday at 5:30, leading to the news. That went for 8 years.
Yes.
And just like Flair's, it's time to upgrade again into the new fashion. So we're pulling all the elements that you love most out of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that is Fastest Finger First. So lots of questions in the first half hour.
Good.
Then you qualify and you get those lifelines are back. 50-50. Ask your friend in the audience. And we've got another one that's called the wipe, which means you can just get rid of the question if you don't like it altogether.
Marto, what do you think of that? The wipe. What do you think of that, buddy?
It's called switch, actually.
Switch. Yeah, we'll go with the switch.
You better get the name right, Ed.
Hang on a second. I'll make it up. Who's that? Hang on a second.
You've heard a voice. That is the voice of God, otherwise known.
God, I thought it was my wife.
It is Robin Bailey. Say hello to Mr. Eddie McGuire.
Hello, Mr. Eddie McGuire, the legend that you are.
Robin Bailey. Great to have you on board, Robin.
Well, I'm figuring that being my first week on Triple M, and you are also Mr. Triple M, that you could see. I've already had the memo on that. You could possibly give me some tips.
Right. The first thing, Robin, is if you put anything in the fridge, it will be stolen.
True. Okay.
Second thing is when gifts come into the studio, first best dressed, okay?
Yes.
Just grab it and put it straight in the car,
and run.
Okay? That's it. Any CDs, anything like that.
Excellent.
Use the fact that you're on Triple M's breakfast show to get restaurant seats as quickly as you possibly can.
That's good.
Because you have to use everything you possibly can because you never know how long you're going to be in this caper. I can promise you. That's it. So, generally with the general managers in the corner, at least wait 2 months to commit their name to memory because that's like a revolving door as well.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Don't worry about it.
If you don't like the boss, hold your breath because you'll get a new one pretty soon.
Great lead.
But Eddie, as a single mum of 3 sons and coming into a very sporting environment that is Triple M, and I know your affiliation with AFL, but is there any sort of sporting stuff that I have to know? Is there anything?
Very simple. There's only one thing you have to know about the AFL.
Oh, yeah, it's
it is just straight up black and white answer, this one. Look, it's as simple as this. You're sitting next to a legend of Australian sport.
Thank you, Eddie.
A legend of Australian sport. Ed Cavalier is just... Marto's there. And when you've got Ed, who's, you know, Mr. Kung Fu and karate.
Appreciate that.
So the traditional way to do it is just flatter, Robin. That's what you do. You flatter everybody in sport.
Yes.
And every person who comes through, you just tell them they are the best player you've ever seen.
Yes,
and
that is so true.
You've got them absolutely done.
All right, Mr. Maguire.
What's your favourite sport, Robin, before we go?
My sons are both massively into soccer. So I finally, after 6 years, worked out the offside rule.
Okay.
I've seen more soccer in the last 4 years of my life than I have for the last 40 plus. Okay. So, yeah, I'm open to new suggestions.
Yeah, well, I've got a few suggestions for you.
They'll score a goal one day.
Exactly. Once they toughen up a bit, they might play footy. So
thank
there you go.
Thank you, Mr. Maguire. Final
I'm
question.
Taking all the
well played.
There'll be emails. All right, Mr. Maguire.
Welcome, Robin.
Thanks, Eddie.
Nice to have you back, mate. 5 o'clock tonight. We've got Hot Seat Super Game. It is now 1 hour on your Channel 9.
That's it. Forget the chase. It's dead.
That's classic. See you soon.
It's no good. It's gone. Apparently, it's off air.
Really?
That's it.
Now, Robin, it was a wonderful night last night. The cricket's night of nights, the Alan Border medal, and you thrilled Marto and I to bits when you came in this morning and you said, I want to talk about the Alan Border medal.
I do, I know, but I don't want to talk about it the way you want to talk about it, because if I'm going to sit in this studio, I think there is some education required about things like WAGs. And fashion.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just an Oscar red carpet moment.
Sure.
We have these at the Alan Border Medals.
Oh, what a beautiful idea, comparing the Oscars with the Alan Border Medals. Who is the Meryl Streep of Australian cricket, would you say?
I would say absolutely Candace Warner.
Really?
I would have gone with Usman Khawaja. Biggest actress.
Well, just, you know, the most beautiful, and she certainly, you know, reflected that on the red carpet. She was very supportive of a bloke too, who of course won the Alan Border medal. She said this.
Always super proud. Proud of everything about David. Proud of the father that he is and the man that he's become, and always proud of him when he represents the country, of course.
Remember when Davey was just punching Joe Root after a few beers in a bar in Birmingham? Remember the old Dave, and then Candace stepped in?
The key phrase there was she's proud of the man he's become. What she means by that, Robin, isn't it? The man she's turned him into.
Yeah, absolutely. And hasn't it worked for him? You have to admit, boys. Come on.
The Cliff Top
mansion the medal
that she now owns.
Yes.
She is so proud of
so
that.
So she deserves to be remunerated for all the work that she's put in.
That thing's worth $8 million,
yeah,
their house.
On her. You know?
I am firmly in Candace's corner.
Do you remember the old Candace?
No.
Okay, so are we stopping there?
Yes.
You can Google that at home.
Okay, can we talk some more about fashion? Because there's a couple of things that you may have missed.
Give it to me.
For example, Brianna Hastings wore this amazing see-through green jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. The only problem I have with it is that you can see her Spanx underneath. Do you know what Spanx are, boys?
Yeah, they're like the compression tights, but they're used for not circulation. They're used to sort of hold things in.
Yeah, they keep you nice and firm in the places
that
you need to.
Why would she wear that?
She
doesn't look all that fat.
No, Marto, you don't wear Spanx to give you shape so that it's, you know, but you don't actually necessarily want to see them. So that's the first thing.
There you go.
But I would also say Lee Watson needs a special mention. She's got a beautiful blue gown on to the floor, but she accessorizes it with diamonds.
Wow.
So much so that it's like this diamond choker with a body chain and the diamonds go into her cleavage.
Are you going to talk about fashion very often on the show?
Okay, did you not even care that I just said that?
I don't give a stuff.
Hang on, but let's
don't give a stuff what people are wearing.
Why not?
Has anyone got fluoro on?
No.
Therefore, they're not doing anything useful.
Yes, they are.
Well, what are they doing? Tell me what they're doing.
Okay, you just said that Candace managed to get David Warner to the place that he was, right?
No, we were kidding. He had a life coach who turned his whole life around.
She was a part of that.
Yeah,
she was a part of that. Okay, so that makes her relevant, and this is a moment where she gets... Thank you, Ed.
This is her reward.
Thank you.
Yes.
As I always say, this night,
you get down and meet Alan Border. That's your reward.
No, they get to walk red carpet, they get to have their photos taken, and they get to look fabulous.
That's a reward.
And Marto, damn it, if I have to stay 10 years in this studio, I will make you care.
Yeah.
I won't be here, so that's fine. You're all on your own. But no one wants what to hear night. About fashion. Why would you want to talk about fashion?
Because that makes me interested.
Exactly. Okay.
I'm sorry, okay. I get cricket a bit, okay. But I really like the fact that these women look truly amazing and they're supporting their blokes and mate, good
did,
on them.
Did you not hear cleavage diamonds?
I know, mate. I was with you. I'm back there. And he's
Lee Furlock. She's married to Shane Watson. She has two kids. I used to work with her. I'm not looking at her breasts.
Why? Because then you'll get into trouble.
Yeah, well, why would you?
Okay.
Remind everyone, you had your bin day was yesterday morning. You went out, your bin was chock-a-block, totally full, and you had a thought, maybe I should check the neighbours.
Yeah, because we had an extra bag and I'd already got my senior and heaviest child to jump on it.
Yeah,
and that hadn't done anything while the other two held the bin, so there was no major catastrophes. Yeah. And I noticed that the bins were out across the road and the lights were all out. Mm. So I just checked in his bin to see that it was only a quarter full. And then I had absolute neighbourly guilt about placing my rubbish in his bin.
Oh, well, remember the listeners that rang in, just to wrap things up, they went each way.
If the bin is already out on the road and it's full, they obviously they're happy with the amount of rubbish that they put in that bin, they're ready for the bin to go, then you can add to it. But if it's empty, no.
I reckon it's on a footpath, it's Switzerland. It's neutral territory.
Yeah, that's right. Footpath.
No man's land.
It's empty. Yeah, not, but if they put it out, yeah, add to it.
No, you are not allowed to put your rubbish in someone else's bin. It is classified as littering, and under Brisbane City Council, you can actually get a fine.
Well, who are you, senior detective council regulations?
Because
how do you
I
know?
I used to do it until my son looked it up.
And Robin, did you ever get us a figure for how
I
much
did.
That fine was?
I was just Googling again. Yeah. It's about $200 in Brisbane, but don't 200. Do it in Victoria. Yeah. $2,000.
What?
They have a lot of rubbish and they're sharing it around and people don't like it.
Yeah, I know in Sydney, when you go down there and see any rallies or friends, their rubbish is such a huge thing. We're a lot more casual.
And they've got
with
the
it.
Little bins.
Little bins. Yeah.
See, they don't want it.
I bet you they do there. Right, so let's say 200. So I walk into a place yesterday.
Yep.
All right, a guy grabs me and says, oh, I was listening this morning to the bin thing. Yeah. I started recording because he started talking about he puts something in a bin, but it's not just rubbish.
Like I said, I'm with you. You know, I try to be fit come January. I've been walking the dog.
Do more dog walking, yeah.
And for the whole week, these one people leave their bin out the whole week. And the dog invariably doesn't at the same spot. Yeah, it does his poo, because I think it's once they get going. So, of course, I know. Well, I know which way I'm going today, so into the bin I go.
What's the fine for not picking up dog poo?
Probably less than 2,000.
Yeah, you're better off leaving it there. Right. His name was Michael, all right? Michael. I don't need to say. He takes the dog for a walk and throws the dog poo in the one bin. Now, there is a fine, I believe, for not taking your bin in. You are not allowed to leave your bin on the road.
Gotcha. Right.
So that bin's in the wrong anyway.
Sure.
I didn't know what the fine was for not picking up dog poo. Just walking by, was that a poo my dog did? I don't care.
Yes.
What's that fine?
So is he better off, money-wise, picking it up and putting it in someone's bin?
He's saving the world, really.
Is he? He should be picking
it
up anyway.
He told me he had a biodegradable bag, so it breaks down. So
well,
really, it
good.
Should have gone in a green bin.
Oh, what's okay.
what's
the ruling
now?
Are we going to get picky
now?
About your dog poo?
Can you walk? Why can't you just put, it's a bin. Okay, well, who cares that much about the four walls of the bin, don't you reckon?
No, this is, you're
what's the difference between rubbish and poo?
Hey, you said it, man.
It's a bit of smell.
You said it. What's the difference between rubbish and poo? See, so rubbish is sort of society's poo, isn't it?
Oh,
it's all on my blog.
Too deep.
Oh, what? Really?
What have you
It's all on my blog on the Sea Shepherd website.
Oh, Sea Shepherd. They picked it up.
.com.
That's good.
.com.
That's good.
So are you getting to an answer or we pull the show up right
well,
now?
Well, no. You keep talking amongst yourselves because I'm not doing well.
I know. The
so,
blog bit
know.
Was supposed to finish the show, I think. The way Ed threw his pen down.
Yeah.
He's done.
That's done.
That's it. 4.5 hours of radio. I got no more.
Well, if you know, if anyone has had situations where they've been in trouble for not picking up dog poo or got or copped a littering fine, maybe
you
we'll
know what
talk
I do
about
with
that
my
tomorrow.
Dog poo, and I haven't had a dog for a while.
Bury it.
No, I used to take a bag of grass clippings. I didn't like picking it up, so I'd put grass
That's
clippings on
worst.
Top of the poo.
The worst thing to do, because then someone
no,
steps it in it because
out.
They think it's grass.
Yeah, well, they just step on the grass, and it's a little squelchy.
No, that's ridiculous.
Let's try that tomorrow.
What's the fine
as well.
For that?
Yeah, let's find out. Hey, you know what? Let's see if can we get the Lord Mayor on tomorrow? Graham Quirk, he hasn't spoken to Robin since she's joined us on Triple. Sure. He's a good friend of the show.
Okay. The new Triple M.
Robin's Roulette.
Yes, it is. And the way this works, Robin, you've got three stories about your life.
Yes.
And our lucky contestants have to try and pick the one out of the three, which is a lie.
Okay, so here we go. Number one, I was a plucker duck girl for 2 years Hey, Hey, It's Saturday.
Now, for people who don't remember, Hey, Hey, It's Saturday was a Saturday night variety show and they had a character called Plucker Duck. And
Why did they need a girl?
Well, Denise Drysdale left.
Yes.
And they had a national competition.
What did she do, though? What did you do, the Plucker Duck Girl?
Well, let's see. I will tell you
if that's
correct.
All right. Okay. I ask the questions to see how easily you answer them to help our contestants.
Okay. So question number two. Once travelled to India for a 3-week silent retreat where I couldn't say a word.
That's interesting. Okay, we'll get back to that. And number three.
Did you get dysentery?
No, I didn't.
Okay, see how quickly she answered.
Okay, and number three. I have an older sister and two half siblings that are older than Ed's mum.
Yeah, whoa, geez.
Who live in England.
That's not a bad one.
We'll start with the 60?
I think mum's 60 something. Yeah, Tim is from Birkdale. Tim.
Good morning, crew. How you going?
Yeah, we're going very well, mate. Tim. You're playing Robin Roulette. So out of the three, the headlines being Pluck a Duck, India
or with no talkie talk,
elderly siblings, which of those do you believe to be incorrect?
Well, I don't believe the India one. Robin can't talk. She has to have the word to say, surely.
Yeah, no, my kids would agree with you on that one.
Yes.
So?
Geez, difficult. So two to choose from. I reckon it'd be Pluck a Duck.
That's the incorrect one?
No.
Oh, you were a plucker duck.
Plucker duck girl for 2 years. There was a national competition and myself and then two others got it and we alternated for 12 months and then they got rid of the other two and I did it for another 12 months.
Oh, my God.
And my grandmother's greatest moment ever was when I was the $20 on sale of the century. She knew that her granddaughter had made it.
The plucker duck
thanks
chick
to
was on the sale of the century board.
Yeah, was awesome.
Was plucker duck a male or a female inside?
Male. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's the best thing I've learned all morning.
We have to look up. There'll be some YouTube footage of Robin as the plucker duck girl.
Yeah.
What a moment.
That's great. Jeez, that was a good segment. Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Tim.
Here's Rob from Ipswich. Rob, you've got two to choose from. They are the India or elderly siblings. Which of those is incorrect?
I'm
going to
say the elderly siblings, Ed.
Okay, Robin.
That's not correct. I have two half-brother and sister. I have an older sister called Pippa who's 2 years older than me and I have an older brother, Kit, who's 71 and an older half-sister, Nikki, who's about 67.
So you lived in England as well, didn't you?
My dad did his first wife's children.
All right.
Looks like it's...
here comes Tuck Shop Karen.
Oh, hello, Tuck Shop Karen of Munreuven. How are you?
Welcome to the show, mate.
Oh, thanks,
Tuck Shop Karen, does this mean you've come across from that other radio station?
I have.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, nice to have you with us, which means which you've only got one to pick from. Is it the India story or the India story, Tuck Shop Karen?
I think it's the India story.
Oh, yes!
Woo!
So wait a second. You didn't go to a retreat for 3 weeks.
Seriously, do you think I could be silent four
weeks? Why would you make that up? Did you go to a talking one? Tuck Shop Karen, would you have got that right if the other two answers weren't eliminated?
Yes, I would have.
Tuck Shop Karen, do you remember seeing Robin on Hey Hey It's Saturday as the Plucker Duck Girl?
No, I don't remember, but I used to watch the show.
Yeah, we're going to have to look that up.
I will find some footage.
Fortunately, we all did.
And, and prove that it was actually correct.
Tuck Shop Karen, I hope you're keen to go to the Raw.
Yeah, congratulations. Raw taking on Western Sydney Wanderers Saturday, Suncorp Stadium. Tickets at tickettech.com.au. You don't have to worry about that. We're your finest because you are in the Chairman's Lounge with Robin. Oh, wow.
Great answer. Thank you, Tuck Shop Karen.
Thank you.
Australian Open. The last of the Australians goes out last night. Dasha loses to a Czech woman with a bizarre tattoo on one of her arms. And to discuss more about that and to tell us, is Rafael Nadal going bald and is it now Federer's tournament to lose, is Channel 7 commentator and tennis legend Henri Leconte. Henri, good morning.
Good morning, mate.
Morning. How's everything there?
Everything's great, mate.
But we're disappointed. We haven't got any women left in the tournament. We got no Australians left in the tournament.
You know, it happens sometimes. But she did well. I mean, she played well during the tournament. She did the same thing than last year. But anyway, the opponent was much better last night. And that's what happened. Also, just with the French, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, the French, because Gael Monfils bowed out against Rafael Nadal. Is he France's Nick Kyrgios, Henri? Lots of talent, and but just can't get it together. Is he frustrating like that?
No, he's not. He's a little bit better, okay. I should say, because he's been at the same position than Nick.
Yeah.
But I think he seems to put himself together and to play the best tennis he can. But last night, you know, he didn't play well. I mean, first of all, Rafa played well at the beginning, but he was just too passionate. You know what I mean?
Too much passion.
And then he just woke up. He just woke up, I think, maybe, you know, the third set, and then he has the break, 4-2. And we thought that maybe we're going to a fifth, and then nothing happened.
Yeah, that's it. He just fell over.
And what's going on, right?
I know.
But Rafa's performing as he should. He looks like he might make it into the final. He's playing well.
He's playing really well. I'm telling you, he's hitting the ball well. He's moving well, much better than before. And then I was very impressed the way he played yesterday. And, you know, you can't expect better than Rafa all the time, every day, every minute, every moment was practicing, he's just giving 150%. So this is, he deserves it. I mean, he's such a good champion.
What would your dream final be? Is it Federer and Nadal?
Well, my dream is to have a French boy in the final. But we still have one night. We have Joe who will play tonight, this afternoon, so we'll see what's going to happen. But everybody wants to see Roger play as well as possible, of course. And then Rafa is back. I think he's great for tennis. He's great for everybody. And we have also Stan Wawrinka, the good players. Raonic is coming.
Yeah.
Dimitrov is there. It's a great tournament. Great for everyone.
Yep, it's good fun. We'll watch it again today on Channel 7. Henri Leconte, tennis legend, now commentator on 7. Appreciate your time. Au revoir.
Au revoir. I love when you say Gael Monfils.
Gael Monfils. Sacré bleu.
Mike.
Can't see you, mate.
Au revoir, mate.